gentlemen.
Don't lose sight of what the goal is.
And please welcome.
It is your turn.
The Grant.
Right now.
Napier Show.
It's showtime, baby.
Okay, let's begin.
In three, two.
To roll up your sleeves to your freaking neck.
One.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios of Sports 1140, KHDK. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Now, here's Grant Napier.
Got those highway blues, can't you hear my motor
run? And a good afternoon. We are coming to you from New York. A two-hour show as we get ready for Monday Night Football. We've got the Eagles and the Bears from Soldier Field, and we'll get you to all the action coming your way at 5 o'clock. And just to alert my engineer back in Sacramento, I've got a little mix-minus issue, so if you can fix that, that would be great. But we're going to start off by talking NFL football and the Raiders' defense. We knew it wasn't good in Week 1 against New Orleans, and most feel that that's the reason why Jack Del Rio went for two at the end of the game, because he had no confidence in his defense. Well, he can't have any confidence after what he saw against the Atlanta Falcons defensively. Certainly, you got to be very concerned over the next 14 games if you're an Oakland Raiders fan, because the defense is not only not good, it's awful, terrible. I mean, you know, this was supposed to be an improved defensive unit. They get Bruce Irvin, they get Sean Smith. We saw how bad Sean Smith was in the opener at New Orleans. Defensively, this team stinks. Offensively, no problem. But defensively, I don't see how you're going to win a lot of games with a defense like that. I don't see it. I mean, and I don't know where to start, but I mean, come on now. You know, this is a Raiders team most people think could be a playoff team. And we saw Week 1, a New Orleans team go up and down the field. And that's not that uncommon. I mean, the Saints have a good offense. I wouldn't say it's great. I mean, yesterday they only had one touchdown in their loss against the Giants. So it's not like it's the, you know, greatest show on turf when Kurt Warner and Marshall Faulk were on the team with Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt. I mean, let's not blow this out of proportion, but you know, yesterday you lose 35-28. I did not like Jack Del Rio's call on 4th and 2 near midfield. I mean, there was too much time left. There was over 7 minutes. But again, that's an indictment on his defense. He didn't have any trust in his defense. And you know what? He doesn't make it on 4th and 2. The Falcons get the ball. They easily go in and score. They're up 2 touchdowns. And then the Raiders on a great drive, but they got the ball back with 2 seconds because their defense couldn't stop the Atlanta Falcons on 2 big first downs. So, or 3rd down. So, again, I'm going to alert my station back in Sacramento. I really need you to fix this mix minus. For the fans that don't know what mix minus is, basically what it means is when I speak normally, I don't really hear myself because it's simultaneous. But when there's a mix minus issue, I hear myself in my ear with about a half second to a second delay. So, you know, it can get a little annoying, but that's all right. We got a great show because Charles Davis from the NFL on Fox is going to be coming up at 4 o'clock. But again, if you're a Raider fan, you know, where's that defense? Where's the defense? And how do you fix it? You know, if you're Jack Del Rio, a defensive coach, defensive coordinator Ken Norton, is it a personnel issue? Or is it more than that? So I want to hear from you at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I mean, think about that. You give up 500-plus yards in 2 games, and where's Khalil Mack? I watched the game. I don't even hear his name being called. Now, the offense is not an issue. They've got, what, 940 yards, no turnovers, but the defense has given up 69 points and over 1,000 yards. You're not winning the NFL giving up 69 points in 2 games. And again, I want to hear Khalil Mack's name. Is he even playing? I mean, I'm not blaming everything on him. You know, Bruce Irvin said that the defense is not on the same page. They're not even on the page. There's no one's on a page. It's not about being on the same page. There's not even a book out there. So, you know, and again, I understand Khalil Mack's being double teamed. I get that. I mean, I'm not making it sound like Khalil Mack's not a hell of a player. I'd take him on my team any day of the week. That's not the point I'm making. But, I mean, great players get double teamed all the time in the NFL. You don't think Luke Kuechly's got 2 guys on him a lot? You know, I can go right on down the list. But again, Bruce Irvin said, we're not on the same page, and it's showing. You know, Bruce Irvin, of course, the big free agent they got from Seattle, said, quote, we went from a bad showing to an even worse performance the following week. We can do all the talking we want to do, but it's up to the guys in the locker room to turn this around. If not, that's what we're going to get every week. And he's right. That's exactly what they're going to get every week. Now, Jack Del Rio was asked about stripping Norton, a one-time All-Pro, about some of the in-game calls. Quote, this is Del Rio now. I think those types of things or discussions are not really part of this wrap-up right now today. Because Jack Del Rio did take some play-calling responsibilities on the Falcons' final offensive series. Well, that didn't go very well. So, I'm not so sure this is coaching. This might very well be a personnel issue. All right, if you want to talk about that, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. 49ers, and thank you, the mixed minus issue is now fixed. 49ers, you score, you know, on a beautiful play, on a beautiful touchdown by Holt, and then what happens? On the very next series, real soon in the series, I mean, who's covering Greg Olsen? You know, he could be the best tight end in the National Football League. How does a guy like Greg Olsen not have anybody within 15 yards of him? And so what happens? The Carolina Panthers answer right back. And, you know, we knew this was going to be a tough spot for San Francisco. We knew it was going to be a tough spot. And everybody was talking about, you know, their defense against the Rams. Well, when you look at what happened yesterday, Cam Newton was 24-40 for 353 yards and four touchdowns. They allowed Whitaker to have a 100-yard day on the ground. Greg Olsen, again, that big, big play. Other than that, he was fairly quiet. But how about Kelvin Benjamin? Seven catches, 108 yards. And, again, we knew it was going to be a difficult situation for San Francisco. Short week, Carolina losing the opener. You know, you kind of get the feeling that you weren't going to win this game anyway. And it was close for a while. I mean, you know, at the half, you know, it's 17-10, right? 17-10, you're thinking, all right, that's not bad. You know, you look at the team stats in this game. You know, 26 first downs for Carolina. But look at that, 529 total yards, 302 yards for San Francisco. And now, by the way, not to brag, but my upset of the week, I had the Rams beating the Seahawks. How bad do the Seahawks look? They shouldn't be 1-1. They should be 0-2. They stunk against Miami. They were terrible in the opener. And now guess where San Francisco goes? They go to Seattle. I think the Niners have a good chance of winning this game. Seattle looks awful. Offensively, they can't block. They can't run. They can't pass. They can't do anything. They look awful. I mean awful. You only score 3 points. 3 points. That's it. Three. The Rams win 9-3. Seattle's offense got to be the worst in football. The worst offense in football. And, I mean, if you're looking at the game from yesterday, and you're looking at the NFC West, Arizona, they bounced back in a big-time way as we thought they would against Tampa. And we'll have Charles Davis on from the NFL on Fox at 4 o'clock. He did that game. But the Seattle Seahawks can't run. And when they did run, I mean, they're not giving the ball to Michael enough. I mean, he averaged 6 yards a carry. He only got the ball 10 times. Give him the ball some more. You know, you look at the team stats. 9-3, the final score. 9-3. Seattle with 300 yards of total offense. The Rams' offenses are much better, but it was good enough to win yesterday. No touchdowns in that game. How about that? Three field goals for the L.A. Rams to get their first win in front of a huge, huge crowd in Los Angeles. So, I mean, again, I don't know what's going on with the Seahawks. A lot of people had them penciled in, you know, as a possible representative of the NFC in the Super Bowl. Not with that offensive line. I mean, if you can't score against the Miami Dolphins and you can't score more than 3 points against the Rams, you got a long way to go. I understand it's 2 weeks, and here's the good news. Every team in that division is 1-1.
But now San Francisco, all of a sudden, you know, where this looked like a real tough game. I don't think it's a tough game anymore. I'm not saying it's an easy game. There are no easy games in the NFL. But I'm looking at the schedule already in week three, and I'm thinking to myself, all right, you know what? I could see San Francisco beating Seattle. Absolutely, I could see that. Thursday night football this week has Houston at New England, and then again, San Francisco at Seattle, whereas the Raiders are right back on the road at Tennessee, who, you know what? They had a nice come-from-behind win at Detroit. So now the Raiders, we thought 2-2. I told you I would take 2-2 before they left. And when, before they left, I mean before they left on that first game at New Orleans. And we thought they'd be 2-0 after they beat New Orleans. But they're not going to be, they're not winning a lot of games, folks. I hate to disappoint you. The Raiders are not winning a lot of games until they fix that defense. Not happening. They're not, it's not happening. Now, I don't think Tennessee's good. I don't think Baltimore's good. I really don't. But then you play San Diego, Kansas City. You have to go to Tampa at the end of October. That defense better start getting better in a hurry. They better start getting better because they look awful. And when I say Baltimore's not good, grant you, I understand they're 2-0. All right? They barely beat Cleveland in Cleveland, and Cleveland's awful. So I don't want to get too ahead of myself here. But all of a sudden, you know, you got a 49ers team that's 1-1 that I had them penciled in at the beginning of the season for no way it's going to happen up in Seattle. And I'm not so sure I'm not going to pick them on my picks on Friday. I got to give it some thought. But that's how bad Seattle looks. Just awful. And if you're a Raiders fan, we'll talk with our Raiders insiders and all of our guests this week to get a read on how it is that this team has given up over 1,000 yards of offense and 69 points in two games. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140. And 800-920-1140. A couple of other thoughts from yesterday in the National Football League. I was actually at the Giants-Saints game, and I would say this about the Giants. Their defense is so much better than last year that they have a legitimate chance if they can stay injury-free because their defense is good. And offensively, they have a new receiver who was a second-round draft pick out of Oklahoma by the name of Sterling Shepard, and he's the wrong deal. And right now, the Giants have arguably, and I don't have all the rosters in front of them, they arguably have the three best receivers in football as a unit, with Odell Beckham, Victor Cruz, who caught the big, big reception at the end of the game to set up the field goal, and Sterling Shepard. And their defense is much, much improved. I was, you know, speaking of a defense, I'll tell you, the Houston Texans, their defense is for real. And you got J.J. Watt nowhere near 100%. I mean, he seems like he's on every single play. Anytime there's a pass play, I mean, he is absolutely over the, he's always around the quarterback. They beat Kansas City. They hold Kansas City to 12 points. And I like Houston, what they've done. Now, all of a sudden, you got the Colts 0-2. I mean, Houston is clearly the team to beat in that division. You know, everyone was high on Jacksonville. Well, we saw what happened when they went to San Diego. You know, they played Green Bay very difficult. And they go to San Diego when they lose 38-14. Just awful news for the Chargers. They lose Allen in week one. They lose Woodhead in week two for the year. Devastating injuries. Adrian Peterson tore his meniscus. They don't believe it's that serious, but anytime we're talking about a knee, you got to be concerned. Speaking of Minnesota, what a way to open up the stadium last night as they beat the Green Bay Packers, and there's another team that plays defense. You know, Minnesota holding Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, they got to him all game. Aaron Rodgers fumbling the ball, Aaron Rodgers not protecting the ball, Aaron Rodgers' offensive line not able to block the Vikings' front. And the Vikings win that game by the score of 17-14. Again, that is a good defense. You know, I love pointing out the defenses because of what happened last year. Denver, Carolina in the Super Bowl. Why? Because of their defenses. You know, you have Minnesota now 2-0 because of their defense. The, you know, teams that are playing good defense. You know, Houston, very good defensive team. They're 2-0. The Giants have won both games on defense. They're 2-0. Pittsburgh, again, off to a good start. They beat their division rival Cincinnati 24-16. Again, you talk about Pittsburgh, you talk about defense. Dallas gets a win on the road. That is a huge win for the Dallas Cowboys and the young quarterback Dak Prescott. And if you're a fan of the Washington Redskins, At what point are you going to run Kirk Cousins out of town? How bad was he? How bad is that interception on that drive inside the 10-yard line? Kirk Cousins getting booed, and he'll continue to get booed as the Washington Redskins, who win the East last year, now 0-2. And the, you know, again, they did, I'm talking about Washington. They had 432 yards of total offense, but, I mean, you're not going to win making those type of mistakes. And Kirk Cousins with some bad mistakes. All right, I want to talk about something that is an alarming trend when it comes to college football. What on earth has happened to college football and the trend of dropping the ball as you're crossing the goal line? Who the hell in their right mind is going to drop the ball crossing the goal line? How often are we going to have to see this before coaches get a grip on their teams with guys that feel it's fashionable to just drop the ball as you're running across the goal line? And you know what's odd? We see it every year. You know, I'll tell you right now, if I'm coaching and I got one of my players that drops the ball before crossing, I'm taking them out of the game and they're not going back in the game, and they may not ever go back in a game, and I don't care who the hell it is. That's my job as a coach. That's not happening. What is going on with these kids? Dropping the ball before they cross the goal line. I mean, how often do we see this? We're seeing it every week now. Like, is it supposed to be some cool thing to just nonchalantly drop the ball as you're coming across the line? Like, is it going to kill you to wait two full strides or three full strides once you cross the goal line to drop the ball? Is that going to kill you? Is that going to look like you're not cool because you held on to the ball for 5 yards into the end zone? What is going on in college football? We see it all the time. We see it with the best teams in the country. We see it with the worst teams in the country. We're seeing it all over the place. I don't get it. I do not get it. We saw it again in the Cal-Texas game. We saw it in another game this weekend. Speaking of college football, oh boy, did you watch the Louisville-Florida State beating? If you're a fan of the Florida State Seminoles, have you ever seen a Florida State team get manhandled the way they got manhandled against Louisville? And say goodbye to the Oklahoma Sooners. They're done. If you've got Oklahoma going to the Final Four, you better wait for another year because it's not happening. They get beat up by Ohio State. So now the new poll, Alabama 1, Ohio State 2. In the AP Top 25, Louisville is 3, and Michigan is 4. In the coaches' poll, which, you know, the coaches shouldn't even have a poll. I mean, I just said the coaches shouldn't even have a poll. Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Louisville, and Michigan are your top five. Stanford wins. You know, in the AP Top 25, they remain at 7. You know, you look at Washington. They're 3-0. They actually drop two spots in the AP Top 25 because they didn't play anyone. So go figure, right? But I'll tell you that, Jake Browning, boy, he is the real deal, the Folsom grad. He looks great. All right, why don't we get a couple phone calls here before we take the break, and we start with Jesse. Jesse, you're on with Grant Napier on Sports 1140 KHTK. Jesse. Hello, Jesse. Is anybody there? I'll take anybody that wants to talk to me. Even if my wife, she can call in and ask me a question. All right, let's get to Wayne. Hello, Wayne. How are you? Wayne, I guess our phones aren't working. No problem. 33911. Well, I don't even have to pass out the numbers. I'll just talk for 2 hours because I have no problem on, you know, our reaction Monday. No problem at all. I'll tell you about everything that happened over the weekend. I'll also tell you, if you're a fan of the San Francisco Giants, you tell me watching that game on Saturday night when Bruce Bochy came out to the hill in the ninth inning, right? And he takes Romo out of the game after a soft base hit to left field and one out. And you see Casilla walking onto the field. You tell me that you're like, uh-oh. I'm watching the game with a fan of a diehard Giants fan. And he goes, oh, no. And I'm like, yep, they're going to lose this game. And we both sat there and we're like, yep, they're going to lose the game. How many times has, and listen, I understand it sounds odd to second guess a manager who's got three World Series and is regarded as one of the top skippers in baseball. I get that, but guess what? It's our job. How many times are you going to go to Casilla before you realize that he can't do it anymore? You know, it's freaking September. The playoffs start in 2 weeks. Why do you keep on going to this guy? How many times do you have to watch him blow the lead in the ninth inning? Why do you put him in that spot? What are you thinking? And again, I understand Bruce Bochy's a great manager, and I understand he knows his team a lot better than I do. But come on now. Not happening. And you got a three-game. I said this, a week ago or 2 weeks? I don't think the Giants are going to the playoffs. I do not think they're making the playoffs. The Mets, 80-69. They got the Atlanta Braves tonight. The Giants, 79-70. And St. Louis, who the Giants could have absolutely ended their season, let them right back in. They're a game back in a loss column. And again, the ninth inning has been a disaster for the San Francisco Giants this year. And how many times do you have to watch Casilla before you realize that he can't do it anymore? And now you got it. Madison Bumgarner on the hill tonight against Clayton Kershaw. All right, we'll see if the phone lines are working. Let's get to Jesse on Sports 1140. Hello, Jesse. Jesse, what's going on?
Hello?
Hello, Jesse.
Grant, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
Good. Sorry for the spotty coverage there, just like the Raiders secondary yesterday.
Yeah, no kidding. Absolutely.
Man, let me tell you, I was there, and we made Matt Ryan look like such an MVP out there. It was embarrassing. The only person that was really actually making a lot of plays was Reggie Nelson. There's no way our safety should be, you know, covering up every single play, preventing that.
That's a great point.
Ben Heaney, nowhere. Bruce Irvin, nowhere. Malcolm Smith, nowhere. Sean Smith is just getting burnt again. And I was honestly hoping that it was just Drew Brees being Drew Brees down in New Orleans and shredding our defense. But then we come to at home, opening day, booming crowd, you know, and we just get torched again. It's just embarrassing.
Well, now you know why Kansas City didn't try to re-sign Sean Smith, because he doesn't look like he can play anymore. I mean, that's how bad he's been in 2 weeks. Would you not agree?
I completely agree. He's big and he's physical.
Yes.
But that's not going to do it. That's not going to do it against these top receivers that are running right by him. And you made a good point about Khalil Mack getting double-teamed. Where's he been at? But I want to know where Bruce Irvin is at when he's getting double-teamed. We signed Bruce Irvin to a good contract. Great athlete. But where's the talent on the field during the game? I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing him get to the quarterback, just like Mack is lacking there too.
Well, again, 1-1, so it's not like the roof's caving in. But here's the issue that I see, Jesse. I don't see how this defense all of a sudden is just going to start playing great football. If they play like this, the Raiders will not win 8 games this year.
You know, 4 or 5 touchdowns should be winning you football games.
You think? Yeah, their offense looks good, though. I mean, that is a bright spot, huh?
Absolutely. Everything looks good. Latavius looks like he's doing well again this year, which is nice to see. I was worried that last year was a little bit of an anomaly, so it's good to see him running the ball hard and pounding, and then we've got a couple change of pace backs with Rashard Washington, and Amari's living up to everything.
Amari Cooper looks great.
Everything looks good on offense. Got to stop.
Hey, thank you for the call, Jesse. I appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time to call the show, and thanks for your patience. All right, Nick, you're next here on the Grant Napier Show on Sports 1140 KHTK. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Grant. Hey, I was thinking the same thing when Bochy put Casilla. It's like, dude, what are you thinking? It's almost like the fans are booing. Everybody knows this poor guy has no confidence, but I'm going to put him in anyway. And you know what? And look what happens. They're not going to win. They're not going to get in the playoffs. They're going to get swept by the Dodgers, and I hate the Dodgers. But, I mean, you know what? Rightfully so. You know, it's just a matter of somebody needs from upstairs needs to go to Bochy and say, look, man, there's something going on here, but you got to let it go. Give somebody else a shot because the bullpen sucks.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to get swept, but if they want to win the division, they need to sweep L.A. because even if they win two games, they only pick up a game in the standings. But they're not winning the division. They're not winning the National League West. So what I think fans need to come to grips that, hey, right now you got to hope that the Mets and the Cardinals lose and that the Giants can win some games to get in as a wild card. And as we saw 2 years ago, if you get in as a wild card, you never know. The Giants won the World Series from a wild card spot.
Definitely. Hey, last thing, did you watch that Alabama game? That was such a fun game to watch.
I did watch the Alabama game. When they were down 24-3, I'm like, oh, my God, Ole Miss is going to beat them for the third year in a row. And then before you knew it, it was 24-24. And I'll tell you, you know, that's two games in a row where Ole Miss is just falling apart in the second half. Now, grant you, you know, they lost to a good Florida – well, what I thought was a good Florida State team. Maybe they're not. But Alabama, we know, is really good. I mean, Alabama, boy, in the second half, particularly in the fourth quarter, they just manhandled Ole Miss.
Yeah, the last thing is, I don't know what a catch is anymore.
No, I don't either. No, it's awful.
It's ridiculous. So,
it is. I don't either. All right, hey, thank you very much for the call. Don't forget Charles Davis, NFL on Fox. He'll be with me at 4:05. We'll be right back here on the Grant Napier Show. Grant Napier coming to you from New York, taking your phone calls at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Charles Davis, NFL on Fox, he's going to be coming up at 4:05. Let's get to some reaction from over the weekend with D. Hello, D. Welcome to the show. How are you? Hello, D.
You there?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead, D.
I want to know, how the hell does Bob Stoops still have a job?
That's funny. I was just talking about that with my producer during the commercial break. That's exactly what we talked about.
Right. He gets all the talent every year. He's supposed to have a top five team this year, and he's already got two losses. And another guy is Brian Kelly at Notre Dame. The guy has
no control over
his team. They're coming home. They're playing Michigan State. They should win that game. They're at home, and then they get just demolished by Michigan State. You know,
I totally agree. I don't understand Brian. I thought he was overrated at Cincinnati, to be honest with you. I don't understand Brian Kelly's the infatuation with Brian Kelly as a football coach. I don't understand it.
Yeah, and Bob Stoops, the same thing. And I got the reverse side of it. I want to talk about Mark D'Antoni with Michigan State. Nobody ever talks about Michigan State. And every year near the end of the season, we look at Michigan State. And they're undefeated going against Ohio State usually. He does a hell of a job with that program. Doesn't get the respect.
That's a great point. He does have, and I listen, everyone's talking about, man, thank you for the call. Everyone's talking about Michigan, Ohio State. You know, I think we saw Wisconsin, boy, they just did not look good on Saturday. I'm not, you know, every team's entitled to a bad game. They did not look good. We know Ohio State's the real deal. I think Michigan's very good. I would not discount Michigan State. All right, let's get to Wayne. You're on with Grant Napier. Hello, Wayne. How are you? All right, Wayne's no longer there. We take your phone calls at 339-1140. We get to Chris. Chris, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing, Grant?
I'm good, Chris. What's up?
After watching the Giants go 2-0, it's been the last time they started 2-0 was in 2009, I believe, if I'm correct. What do you think their record would be before bye week? Because I see them possibly being 6-1.
I think they have a chance to be really good. Their defense is so much improved, particularly the secondary. Eli Manning has he is so in tune with everything. He's got three stud receivers, but the issue that I still see with the Giants is their offensive line and their running game. You're going to have to be able to run the ball at some point. But defensively, they're very good. Their division is weak. I think they have a very good chance of winning their division, but it's too early to forecast, you know, how many wins they're going to have before the bye week or what they're going to do. I mean, you know, the NFL truly is week by week because of all the injuries. But, you know, Denoris Jenkins has played spectacularly well, and I really mean that in his two games. He basically shut down Dez Bryant, and then it was phenomenal yesterday. But the Giants have now a pass rush. They can stop the run with Snacks Harrison and Olivier Vernon. I mean, listen, they should be better. They spent $200 million on their defense. I mean, I'll tell you, the Giants are a team, if they stay healthy, that I think will be right up there at the end of the year.
So I got one more question for you. I just recently seen the video the other day of Undisputed with Shannon and Skip discussing is Eli elite? What is your take on that?
I don't think there's any question he's an elite quarterback. He's been the MVP of two Super Bowls. Every year he throws for over 4,000 yards. You know, he had two bad years under Kevin Gilbride after the last Super Bowl, but, you know, now he's had two great years under Ben McAdoo. He'll have a great year this year if he stays healthy. Listen, if I had to win a big game, he's going to be one of the guys that I take to win a big game. I mean, there aren't a lot of quarterbacks in the league that I would take if I absolutely had to win a game. He'd be one of them. All right, thanks for the call, Chris. Appreciate it. Leo, you're next here on the Grant Napier Show. Hello, Leo.
Thanks, Grant. Hey, so historically, I don't think the Raiders, I mean, I'm pretty young. I'm 34, and since I can remember, the Raiders haven't been really good at stopping the run, man. Forever. I mean, I'm pretty sure when they had that little Super Bowl run, they were all right at stopping the run.
No, they were great back then. They had tremendous. Yeah.
Right, right. And right now, with all this talent on defense, all this money, is that Ken Norton not putting them in good positions to make plays? Or does Ken Norton may have to go? Or Jack Del Rio got to take over these calls? And I still remember in the offseason, they were talking about Ben Heaney. You know, he plays hard.
Right.
He makes plays. And they were saying he had to gain like 25 pounds. He's kind of small for a linebacker. But if he gains weight, he's not going to be able to cover these tight ends. Do you think we need another middle linebacker?
I don't know if I would go that far yet. And as far as Norton, yes, I do think his job is going to be in jeopardy if this Raiders defense continues to play this poorly. I absolutely do. If Reggie McKenzie and Jack Del Rio feel that their personnel on defense is much better than what they're showing, somebody's going to fall for it the exact same way that Greg Roman just got fired in Buffalo after the second week. So one thing that's difficult, I shouldn't say difficult, but, you know, Jack Del Rio's the head coach, and not often do you have a head coach also be, quote-unquote, a coordinator of either the offense or the defense. Now, it can happen. You know, you've seen Mike McCarthy in Green Bay call the plays for, you know, Ben McAdoo's calling the plays in New York for the Giants as an offensive coach. But generally speaking, you know, you don't do that. But I'll tell you this, Jack Del Rio is not going to sit back and watch his defense, you know, give up 500 yards every week. That's not happening.
Yeah, man, that's unacceptable, man. I mean, we got our offense is, you know, just tearing it up,
yeah.
And our defense
yep.
isn't good. And that Sean Smith signing, it kind of reminds me of that, remember D'Angelo Hall signing where this guy was supposed to be our shutdown corner and, you know, we let him go, like, well, a few games into the season. I mean, why is Sean Smith getting burned? I mean, they're saying he's not jamming the receivers at the line. Is that his strategy? Are they telling him not to do that?
Yeah, no, they, of course, if you see, you know, a DB trying to jam receivers at the line, I mean, that's strategy. That's the game plan coming in. I mean, they're not doing that on your own. I just, there are a lot of concerns that you would have on the Raiders right now. And the number one thing that I don't know, that we'll find out probably in the next 2 to 3 games, is this a schematic issue or is this a personnel issue? In other words, are the players good enough to play the defense that Ken Norton wants them to play? Or are they good enough? Yes, but the scheme does not fit the personnel. We're going to find out there pretty quickly. Hey, I appreciate the call, Leo. Thank you very much. All right. Mike, you're next here on the Grant Napier Show. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, Grant. Thanks for taking my call. Love your show, too.
Thank you, Mike.
Regarding the Giants game on Saturday night, my son and I were literally like right on top of the Cardinals dugout on the third base side there, or first base side.
Right.
And when they brought in Casilla, the entire stadium and the whole vibe around us was just like, oh, no, oh, my God, you know. And we were close enough to even see and hear some of the reactions from the Cardinals. But here's the thing, you know, Bochy brought him in. He was looking for a ground ball. They needed a double play really bad at that time. And if you watch the game, he got the ground ball. And if that ball is a foot closer to Crawford, they got two and the game's over. And we'd be talking about Casilla.
Yeah, I understand. But he also was very – yeah. But he was also very wild. He almost hit one batter 3 times and one at bat. He still walked a guy. And you're right, that ground ball up the middle, it's not like a hard hit ball. And, you know, Crawford, you're right. If he – what's that?
It was a bleeder. It just barely bled through.
I understand. Yeah. When things go bad, things go bad. But, you know, that doesn't change how bad of a year Casilla's had.
Yeah, I get it. I just wanted to make a comment. If that, like I said, if that ball's, you know, 6 inches, Crawford came so close to getting that ball, but, you know.
This is not just a one-game deal. This has happened, you know, since the All-Star break, this has happened almost every game. And I'm not exaggerating when I say almost every game with a one-run lead. The Giants, I mean, how many blown saves they have this year? It's ridiculous.
I don't know. I'm a Cards fan anyway, so.
Well, if you're a Cards fan, you got to feel good because your season was just saved – by Casilla on Saturday night. Because if the Giants win that, I think the Cards, you can send them to bed.
Exactly. And they got the tougher schedule down the rest of the year. Their schedule is actually a lot tougher than the Mets and the Giants. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Again, I think the Giants' schedule is difficult. I disagree with you because they have not proven that they can beat the Padres, and they got four games with them after, and they've got six with L.A. So I know that I don't agree with you on that. I think the Cardinals' schedule, with the exception of going to Wrigley for those games, I don't think their schedule is that difficult at all. Thank you very much. Yeah. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take the break, and then I'm going to come right back. We're going to take some phone calls at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Charles Davis, NFL on Fox. He's going to be coming up at 4:05. And then we've got Monday Night Football with Philadelphia at Chicago. We'll get you out to Soldier Field a little bit later. That's coming up at 5 o'clock. This is the Grant Napier Show on Sports 1140 KHTK. All right, let's get to some phone calls before Charles Davis with Steve. Steve, welcome to the show. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm good, Steve. What's up?
Oh, nothing, man. I was just calling it about my Niners, man. You know, I think Chip Kelly's offense is not suitable for that defense. Our defense is good, but the offense is just running too fast, and they're not getting enough first down. That's what our problem is. But our defense is going to be tight all year.
I don't know about that. I mean, they didn't look that tight on Sunday. So I don't. How did Carolina have the total yards that they had, and how come they scored 40-plus points if their defense was so tight? Explain that to me.
Okay, explain that catch to me, though. Was that a catch or not a catch?
I don't know, all right? So let's say it wasn't a catch.
Well, that was at least 50 yards right there.
All right, so take off 50 yards and take off one touchdown. They still win by three touchdowns.
Yeah. Well, forget. Well, look, there was a short week. They was resting.
I know. Absolutely.
Carolina was resting for 10 days.
Okay? I agree. Hey, listen, I agree. I totally 100% agree. I think that I give them a 50-50 chance or better to go up and beat Seattle on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think the Chargers are going to beat the Raiders this year, too. How you been
doing anyway?
Everybody getting hurt down there, man. My son got hurt.
I know.
And then
Woodhead today's gone.
I talked to him this weekend, and him and Keenan is in the rehab room. So going to be more players in the rehab room than on the court.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Let's get to James. You're on with Grant Napier on Sports 1140. Hello, James. Hey, James. All right, Mitch is next on the Grant Napier Show. Hello, Mitch.
Hey, how are you, Grant? Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Yeah. First of USC, I think that coach is pretty bad. Get this quarterback. Looks kind of like lost. They got good running backs, wide receivers. They're off to 1-2. I don't even have a chance. And UCLA with that good quarterback. They're missing on all the quarterbacks. And with the Northern California teams, this quarterback Webb looks better than Goff. And Christian McCaffrey should have had the Heisman last year. He might have a little competition with that Lamar Jackson from Louisville.
Of course he's going to have. He's a clear-cut favorite through 3 weeks of the college football season. However, you know, there are 8-9 weeks left. So, you know, you can't really give out Heisman trophies in September. But Jackson from Louisville looks off the charts.
I hate when they hold it against them being freshmen and sophomores. That really shouldn't have a major bearing.
No, it shouldn't, but it does.
Yeah. All right. But thanks for taking my call and all.
All right, Mitch, thank you. All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Let's get to Joey. What's up, Joey? Hello, Joey. Joey, are you there? All right, Joey's not there. Don't forget that we're going to have Charles David. Oh, Joey, what's going on?
Oh, sorry, sir. I pushed the wrong button on the phone. Hey, first of all, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. So I'm calling a little minor talk here. Now, although the defense wasn't very spectacular yesterday, would you say that there's a little bit of light of hope?
Which team are you talking about?
I'm talking about the 49er Panther game.
Okay. All right, fine. I didn't know that. I mean, I can't read your mind, so go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, although our defense didn't look pretty spectacular, obviously, because of all the yardage and the points, but would you say that there's a little light of hope as far as their offense scoring at least 27 points in two games?
Yeah, I think their offense is actually better than I thought it was going to be. You know, the Gabbert at times looks really good, and then he'll miss some wide-open throws, and you're like, wait a minute. That's a routine throw for an NFL quarterback, and it leaves you scratching your head. But today in the press conference, Chip Kelly said that, hey, Blaine Gabbert, he likes the way he's developing, and he's not thinking at all about changing quarterbacks right now. But, yes, there are times when the offense, again, overall, I think the offense has played better than I thought it would.
With another quick question on Kaepernick.
Yes.
Do you really think that right about now he should actually call a press conference, a media conference, and just stop everything as far as political views right now and focus on football?
Well, who's going to do that?
I mean, him. I mean, if I was him, the right thing to do would probably be call a press conference of some sort.
In your opinion, it's the right thing to do. Most people would disagree with you. He's not going to call a press conference and say, let's concentrate on football, because in his mind, he's already concentrating on football. And what's a press conference going to do? No, that's not being realistic.
Well, the reason why I say that, though, is because I don't know if I could, in case, heaven forbid, that something happens to Gabbert and he goes in, I don't think he's been focused on football at all.
Well, based on what? How would you know that? Why would you say something like that without knowing?
Well, based on last week, when a whole bunch of press reporters were talking that it was still about political views, and then a 49er walked right behind him and yelled that there was a 49er game today, you know, that right there is not the focus on the game. It's focused on his...
Yes and no. We don't know what context that player said. That's number one. I've been in locker rooms before where players have said, you know, when someone's, distracted with an issue, that's not super uncommon. But what, you know, you're speculating based on no information other than speculation that he's not concentrating on football. And I would say you have no way of knowing that.
Well, I can only know from what I see, and what I see, it's spending more time worried about talking to the media about how he's
again,
about
you don't know. You don't know that. You have no idea what he's doing when he's not talking. Hey, wait a minute. Listen to me. The media, he talks to the media for 15 minutes a week, okay? That's 15 minutes out of his week he's talking to the media. What makes you think that when he's not talking to the media, he's not doing everything in his power, both physically and mentally, and all the video work and everything else to get ready to play in case Blaine Gabbert gets hurt? What makes you think that, like, you know, when he's not talking to the media, that he's not doing his job? What makes you think that?
No, you're right. I can't say that it is. But if he was really, I feel, that focused, then I would think that he would stop all chatter during the football season from this point on and just talk about football, period.
All right. Well, again, I think you're speculating on something that you have no information on, and I don't quite understand that. What I do understand, though, is we're going to have the great Charles Davis from the NFL on Fox coming up next here on the Grant and Napier Show.